Let's flow! And this is my impression of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Tan Hut! Get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands! Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Left, 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 and step ball change.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company Affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.
Hey, everybody. It is our noontime show as we get near the end of September, September 29th, 2016. I'm Larry Jacobs. Welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio today. We got a good one today about global education, how to foster understanding, empathy, and dialogue for your students. We have two wonderful groups here, one supporting the other, the Tony Blair, as in the former Prime Minister of England, Tony Blair's Faith Foundation, and he's working with Generation Global, and we have folks here from both groups, as well as a few teachers to talk about how they're doing so much good, okay, in making sure that kids understand we're moving into a, pardon the redundancy, a global world, okay? We're not just an island like Britain or separated by the oceans like the U.S. It's a global world. We have to understand the world around us, and these folks help us do it. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalk Radio over on Twitter, and you're going to be amazed how this information you're going to get today will help you and your students. And without further ado, we have a number of guests. We actually have four. I'm going to bring them on right now. We're going to be circling here. It looks like there we go. We're cranking here. Okay, they're all coming on. We have, first of all, I'm going to introduce everybody. I think all the way from England, Dr. Ian Jamieson, who's the head of education at Generation Global. Dr. Jamieson, it's Larry Jacobs. Call me Larry. Are you there?
I am indeed, Larry. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. And that is the best imitation of an English accent I ever heard. Where are you from in Montana, really? Really, Ian?
Thank you very much. I've been working on it for 48 years. I'm based in the UK. I live in Plymouth. Our offices are in London. And along with some of my colleagues, I just got back from Bangladesh, where we were running a teacher workshop. So
how much
really looking forward to taking part.
Well, I thank you for doing that, because I know how jet lag can work on you, and Bangladesh is all the better for your journey, and we will be too. We also have Claire Lawrenson. Claire, are you there?
Hi, Larry. Yes. Thanks so much for having us here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you here, and you are the U.S. Education Manager with Generation Global, and we're going to talk about generation.global on the web. So, Claire, where are you located?
Yes, I'm in New York City, where our U.S. offices are based.
Okay, don't take the train today. They had a little train crash this morning. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about it, yes.
Stay off the train for a while. We also have two educators from the good old USA. Okay, we have Jody Ide. Jody, are you there?
Yes, Larry, I'm here. Thank you.
Welcome. And I believe you're in Utah. Am I correct on that one?
Yep, I'm a public school teacher here in Salt Lake City, Utah. I teach at Brighton High School. Go Bengals.
Good. And what do you teach?
I teach social studies classes. So I teach AP European History. I teach comparative world religions, in which I implement the Global Generation program. And I also teach an American Women's History class.
Great. That's terrific. I taught social studies for a long time. So it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and keep up the good work, and make sure kids understand civics and get them going on all this stuff. It's important. And finally, we have Corey Davis from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, my friend. Are you teaching at Lewis and Clark High School in Spokane?
I am indeed teaching at Lewis and Clark High School in Spokane. We're about 300 miles to the east of Seattle, which everybody usually thinks of when they think of Washington.
That's right, but Spokane's a great town, by the way, and it's right near Coeur d'Alene, which is also equally beautiful, right in Idaho, right?
That is exactly right. Love going out over to Coeur d'Alene. It's a beautiful town. So I teach I teach English. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, I teach AP English Literature and AP Psychology here at LC.
Wow, that is just great. Now, Lewis and Clark, is that Jerry Lewis and Marcia Clark, the old prosecutor?
No, that isn't. I think they're opening up that school over in Coeur d'Alene actually pretty soon. But right now, we're just the good old Lewis and Clark.
Lewis and Clark, Meriwether Lewis. And it wasn't George Rogers Clark. It was his brother. I can't think of his first. William Clark. Right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
It was. I'm an old history teacher. I know that. Okay, I'm reading a book about Jefferson, so I should have known that right off the bat, but it is William Clark. And welcome to all four of you here. I want to start with Ian. Ian, tell us about the Tony Blair Faith Foundation. They are supporting Generation Global. It's important we talk about that. I want to say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ian, We're not proselytizing faith. We're talking about faiths getting along with one another, fostering understanding and empathy and dialogue among everybody. Would I be correct?
That's absolutely right. I mean, the core part of the Generation Global program is about giving young people the opportunity to practice dialogue with their peers around the world. So we give teachers a package of materials they can use in class to give the students the skills of dialogue. And then we give them opportunities for taking part in dialogue with other students from around the world, either through a video conference or online. I think the kind of key thing, I think, the way I like to think about it, is there are many ways of teaching our young students about the world that they live in. And we can give them textbooks and we can give them videos, but actually that's very good at giving them knowledge. But to give them understanding of what it's like in other parts of the world or the way that other people think about the world, there's nothing that beats a good conversation and actually getting that sort of individual viewpoint from someone of their own age in another country or in the same part of their own country, even, who has a different perspective on life than they do.
That's a wonderful explanation. And by the way, do you ever run into Tony Blair? Do you work with him on a regular basis?
I wouldn't say regular. I run into him every now and again. He's the patron of our organization. He's not kind of like a direct manager. So under his patronage, we've been working now for 7 years, and I have met him on a few occasions. And he has also been involved sometimes from time to time in these video conferences, but I certainly wouldn't guarantee that he'll turn up in all of them.
Well, he's a good man, and boy, he was a friend when we needed one. And you can tell him Larry Jacobs told him that. Okay, he was a good friend.
I'll certainly pass that on.
And I mean that sincerely. He was a good friend, all right? And I never want to forget that, okay? Believe me. And thank you for your support of Generation Global, which we're going to get a picture of right now from Claire, who's the U.S. director, U.S. education director with Generation Global. Is that headquartered in the U.S. or is that in the U.K. too, Claire?
Just to sort of add on to what Ian was saying, to answer that. So Generation Global is the global education program that's a program within the Tony Blair Faith Foundation. So it's actually headquartered in London in the UK because we work in, now we have schools that are in more than 40 countries around the world, but we serve as a core group of 10 to 12 that we have different coordinators like myself. And so what we do is we work with U.S. schools, so we have a little over 200 that are registered for our program, and every year get around 70 or 80 of those that really do the video conferencing or engage online, and then another handful that also teach the dialogue skills toolkit, which we call the Essentials of Dialogue, in the classroom. So I oversee sort of those U.S. schools, but then work with our coordinators elsewhere to connect them to the other Generation Global schools across the world and through the video conferences or online.
And by the way, folks can register their school, am I correct? And you're looking for 12 to 17-year-olds, you know, so everybody knows those kids, middle school and on up. Okay, and can anybody just go and register their school? Or does it have to be through the district, or can a teacher register in? Just explain that. It's generation.global, everybody.
Generation.global, and it's absolutely free. The entire program is free, from registering to engaging in video conferences online, and you just go to generation.global, and then you quickly fill in some information about you as a teacher, what you teach, where your school is located, just so that we can vet you to make sure you're actually an educator, so the community stays safe and secure, just for educators and students, 12 to 17. And then we send you just sort of a getting started packet with directions on how to get started with your students and teach dialogue skills and get connected.
It's all free. You hear me, everybody? Generation.global. This is key because we are always talking about global education. Okay? This is a way to do it because the kids are entering a global world. Pardon that redundancy. It is a global world. All right? We're not just working with the guy next door anymore. We're working with everybody. And we got to understand everybody and build up an understanding. I think it's so important. I know Jody and Corey think the same thing I do. Claire, I have to ask you, what's your background? Okay, how did you get involved? This is really cool that you got this wonderful position. What fun.
I think it's a really good question. I think what inspired me to join the program was that I had teachers when I was in school that actually made space for me to learn who I am and share about my identity and what shaped that and what influenced it and what I value and care about. And as I went through college and other educational spaces, I learned how unique that was. I learned how I really had some special teachers that went above and beyond to give us the space within already sort of a packed class time and curriculum to make sense of what we were learning and how we would actually bring that into the world and what we cared about. And so when I came across the program and saw that there were people actually doing this and doing it for free and wanting to have these conversations in public school classrooms, I just thought it was an incredible program. And I was like, well, if I can get involved in this and help support this, it would absolutely be an honor. So
it's an honor.
Me.
And I have a feeling they're lucky to have you. Ian, as you go around the world, I'm going to get to Jody and Corey in a second. But Ian, as you go around the world, do you find that most educators want to impact their students with the need for understanding the rest of the world? Or let me ask it another way, since I'm U.S.-based. How's the U.S. shape up in terms of understanding and all that? I think it's pretty good. Plus the other countries, how do they reflect back?
Well, I've got to say that I think that it's a universal concern. I mean, nearly all the educators I meet, this is something that's absolutely a priority for them. I think, you know, educators around the world suffer from many of the same challenges that we're familiar with. So, you know, the pressure of the curriculum on the amount of time you've got to spend in the classroom and all those kinds of difficulties. But this is something that a lot of educators around the world really see as a high priority because they're very, very aware of the fact that, you know, one of the difficulties young people have in dealing with this globalized world is how you learn about it. And very often the sources that they have available to them through the media or through the online space, they're not always the resources that we as educators will be wanting them to use in terms of sort of unbiased and objective points of view. And very often young people are kind of struggling with feeling that other people around the world don't understand them, don't know about them, or have really, really, you know, prejudicial viewpoints. And the ability to get young people to talk directly to one another is so precious because as well as creating that space for learning about other people, we're giving young people a voice. We're giving young people in the West Bank, in Pakistan, in India, in the US, in Indonesia, in the Philippines, in the Ukraine, all these countries, we're giving young people a voice that can be heard around the world, where they're able to talk about the things that are important and significant to them. They're able to say, you know, this is who I am. This is my identity. These are the things that are critical to me. And, you know, young people find that there are similarities, but also, and I think most importantly, that they can live together with difference. Because one of the challenges we face in the world today is the way in which, you know, people often fear difference. They often struggle with talking to people who are different. And that's kind of the root of prejudice and the root of misunderstanding. And we want to give young people the opportunity to speak directly and say, you know, this is the world as I see it, so that we can all understand one another. We don't all have to agree. We're not all after some sort of universal commonality, but we do have to have that space in which we can learn to appreciate one another.
And you're doing a great job. And by the way, I made a little boo-boo at the beginning when I introduced you, Ian. I said you were head of education at Tony Blair Faith Foundation, a wonderful organization, but you're actually the head of education at Generation Global. Am I correct?
A bit of both, actually. But yes, I'm head of education at Generation Global. Don't worry. It's
I just wanted to make sure people understood that. Okay.
Yep.
But you're kind of both. straddling the world, so to speak?
Indeed, yeah. We do other education work in the foundation, but Generation Global is our biggest program and the way in which we reach, you know, the vast majority of the people we work with. And obviously, I myself had an education background. I was a teacher for 20 years, and I'm really excited about the possibilities of getting this into more and more classrooms around the world and empowering more young people with the skills and experience of dialogue.
That's wonderful. And by the way, what did you teach?
I taught religious studies, which in the UK is a compulsory subject. Everybody has to study the religions of the world, not so that we become religious, not so that we make people religious, but so that we have greater understanding of one another. Obviously, the UK is an increasingly diverse society, as many societies are, and we want to make sure that the young people we're working with have a really good understanding of one another.
That's an excellent idea, and you know, there are some countries that aren't as diverse as others. U.S. and England are incredibly diverse, and the more we do what you're doing, the better we're for you. And that's compulsory in England?
It is, up to the age of 16.
Wow, congratulations. Congratulations. I think that's great. And it's wonderful where you're, this wonderful position you have now. Wow, it's really just a great extension it's unbelievable. Jody, Corey, you both still there?
Yeah,
I am.
All right, good. All right, so Jody, let me start with you. Ladies first, okay, from Utah. I got it here, Brighton High School in magnificent Salt Lake City, Utah. Okay, I'll tell you, I know about Utah, Life Elevated. That's on all your license plates. It is Life Elevated. It's a great place, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it is Life Elevated. And how did you find out about Generation Global? And what got you to move forward with it? Okay, we'll ask Jody that first.
Great. Well, I have served on a board in Utah called the 3Rs Project, which was a program that was supported by the First Amendment Center in Washington, D.C. So when the program, Generation Global, initially wanted to come to the United States and start the program here, there was actually a meeting in Washington, D.C., where we were able to kind of be hosted by the First Amendment Center, and we actually kind of talked about, would a program like this work? Because a lot of people, a lot of educators, I think, are worried about separation of church and state and, you know, worried, is this program, going to make kids, you know, talk about religion in a way that isn't safe, you know, that maybe, mm-hmm. like Ian said, you know, to clarify, and you clarified, you know, we would be proselytizing, and that is not what it is at all. And so with my involvement, kind of in the beginning with that, and hearing about the program, and hearing about an educational program that can help kids learn to discuss their deepest differences in a safe way, mm-hmm. where they can learn compassion and empathy and understanding, I was all in. I had had an educational experience similar to Claire's, where I had amazing teachers who gave me a place where I could learn like that, and I wanted to be able to have that in my classroom as well.
And, you know, it's interesting that we say this because, as everybody knows, Utah was basically founded, if I may, by Brigham Young and his Mormon group, which, of course, is a religion, all right?
Yeah.
And in your school, in Brighton High School, is it incredibly diverse there? How diverse is it? Because I know the state, like every state, is changing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's becoming a little bit more diverse, but I would say, you know, over 90% of our student population is white. I would say, mm-hmm. you know, probably maybe 65, 70% of our student population, you know, are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints,
yep.
or Mormons.
Latter-day Saints,
but
yeah.
We are, you know, becoming a little more diverse, and we need to have a place where kids that don't fit in the majority there have a voice, where they can share their thoughts and their ideas so that the majority can understand the minority and vice versa.
It's excellent. And by the way, the Mormons, of course, and Jody certainly knows this and everybody else, they send their young people, you know, on the missions, okay?
Yeah.
And some of them
go to foreign
countries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, that very much helps those children, those young people, to understand what's going on in these other countries, and vice versa. It does create a dialogue, okay? And I think
Absolutely.
It's just wonderful. Yeah, and how is all this, Jody, if I may, how do your kids sure. react to all this? I mean, after all, they're in Utah,
yeah.
you know, they can go to Nevada, to Las Vegas, okay? They can go
yeah.
to Arizona, they can go to Colorado, but do they see the world from a global point of view?
You know, I would like to hope that they do. I have kept in touch with, you know, many students over the years, and it seems like kids that end up taking, because it's an elective class, you know, at my school, kids choose to take it. But kids that choose to take it and to participate, they have written me notes. They have said at the end of the year that this class really changed their lives. It changed how they saw themselves.
Wow.
It gave them greater confidence. It gave them better abilities to express themselves. It helped them understand others.
Oh.
And a lot of them have actually gone on into fields where they are into, you know, political science or into community development and things where they are using these skills to try to help make
mm-hmm.
the world a better place.
And, you know, you keep using the word, and you're right, skills. These are skills we need to teach
yeah.
kids, okay? I mean, these are skills. It's not just learning about the other religions. It's about the skills to work with them and play with them and all that sort of thing. People from all over the world. Let's swing over to Corey. Corey, talk to me. How did you wind up finding out about Generation Global? You're an English.
My story.
What are you doing? You're an English and psychology teacher. Why are you involved
yeah.
in this? That's even better.
I know. It's kind of, and my story is a little bit more random as well too. It really comes down to a plane ride and a magazine article. Several years ago, I was on a plane, and I don't usually go to the little magazines that are in the little pockets there in front of you while you're on the plane. But I was bored, and I grabbed one, and it just happened to be about this new program that was developed called the Tony Blair Faith Foundation. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And so I read about it and took some notes and then took it back with me. And several months later, just kind of, again, off the top of my head, just remembered it, decided to look it up online, and they had just been implementing this new education program. And I thought, oh, that sounds like right up my alley. And I was really drawn to it just in the sense of creating a safe space to talk about topics that we don't usually get to talk about in the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
And talking not only about religion, but politics, about ourselves, et cetera. I was very drawn to the idea of being able to, it really does go back to what Claire was saying, being able to talk about issues that are very meaningful and relevant and personal to individual students. And one thing that I was really impressed with and drawn to was the fact that, you know, not only learning about the other, but learning about ourselves. And as a teacher of literature, I try to get students to, you know, read Shakespeare and read Orwell and read all these wonderful authors, but really apply that to their own lives. And what is the author trying to deal with in their own life? Well, Generation Global comes along, and now all of a sudden we don't have to have the middleman of the literature. We've got ourselves.
That's
talking
interesting.
About and reflecting on the individual self. And that, to me, is one of the most powerful pieces of the program.
And do you use it in both your English and psychology classes, or how do you use it with your students?
Yeah, it's a little bit different because I don't incorporate it into the classroom. I actually run a club. So I have a club. And
okay, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah, Wednesdays at lunch, it's totally volunteer, and they come in at lunch, and we do our thing.
That is great. How many kids belong?
You know, we lost a really good, strong group of seniors this past spring, and so we're trying to rebuild our numbers. And yesterday I had upwards of 20 coming in and checking things out. We've got about 6 or 7 returning, and they've begun the recruiting process.
Oh, that is great. That is terrific. I'm sure that's going to grow and grow and grow. And I have this phrase here in front of me called a Generation Global. I'll stick here with Corey. A Generation Global Dialogue Facilitator. Does that mean within your school? I should just Claire this. Does that mean within the school, or are they going out to talk to other schools too, Claire? How's that work?
Yes, and I'll definitely have Jody, and because both Jody and Corey are facilitators, and I am as well, and Ian is too. And that means that we facilitate the live video conference dialogue. between classes. So that for Jody and Corey, that could be, you know, they could facilitate a video conference between a school in Indonesia and Mexico. It's not their classroom.
Right, but it doesn't have to be with their school. Does it have to be with their school, or can another school tap in, let's say one in Iowa or here in Maine?
So, yeah, it's not with their school. They're part of the Generation Global program, and we have a group of facilitators all over the world that we've trained in dialogue facilitation. And so they, since they're so enthusiastic about the program and understand it so well, has joined. Jody and Corey, I can't remember quite how long you've been facilitators, but I know that you're some of our oldest facilitators. So
Jody, how long have you been there? Jody?
Yeah, I've been kind of from the beginning in the United States. I was one of the very first public school teachers that started the program in the country, and I think I had been implementing the program in my own classroom for a year or two, and then they extended the invitation to be a facilitator as well. So I'm probably going on four years, a safe guess, as facilitating, and then, you know, 5, maybe 6 years teaching this in my classroom, and I absolutely love it.
I can tell by the tone of your voice that you do. Corey, what about you? How long have you been involved?
I'm right about the same time frame. I actually, Jody started implementing the program before I did. Again, series of random circumstances, I began facilitating a little bit before Jody did. So right around that 5-6 year mark as well.
Okay, cool. And you know, Claire, I have to ask you, you just used a phrase, I can't remember the exact phrase, but you said you part of their training was teaching them how to dialogue. You said something like that. And what does that mean?
Good question. Well, I can speak to what the role of the facilitator is, because we're doing dialogue on all different levels in terms of what do we teach students, but then we actually train the facilitators in facilitating that dialogue.
Well, talk about the training, and also I want to talk about what you're saying to kids, because that's really mm-hmm. important, as Ian well knows. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Claire.
Yeah, so the training, so in terms of what it takes to sort of train to be a facilitator, I think a good way to talk about it is sort of what is the role of the facilitator in the video conference.
Okay.
And the facilitator, I would say, number one role is to create a safe space. So even before any deep dialogue, meaningful dialogue, you know, greater empathy, understanding amongst the students, everyone has to feel safe. And when you put technology into the middle of it, that can sort of also create more barriers and get everyone sort of nervous and anxious. And so the facilitator, to sort of bring everyone together in the beginning of the video conference, sets out protocols and guidelines of how everyone is going to engage and interact with one another. And some of those things are on sort of a technology side of, you know, muting your microphone and saying thank you after you're done speaking so everyone knows that you're done with your thought. But others are encouraging students to speak from the I perspective, and that really
mm-hmm.
enables, instead of sort of, if we speak from we and you, you risk reinforcing the stereotypes that we have brought students together to try and break down. And everyone's there representing themselves. I start by saying, you know, you're not here representing your school, your family, your community, your town. You're only here representing you. So speak from the I perspective, and I will, you know, bring this up and encourage everyone later on in the video conference if I hear a lot of we's and you's. So you can always refer back to the protocols that you've set out in the beginning. But then I remind everyone in terms of what active listening can look like and sound like, and that we're here to respond to what we've heard each other share. You're not here to come share prepared statements or pre-prepared questions, but we're here to actually respond in dialogue in that way. But our facilitators are also trained. Mm-hmm.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I would love to hear Jody and Corey and Ian's responses too here, because everyone has their different style and approach to it. But we're also trained in the cultural context of the countries that we work in to be prepared for difficult conversations and situations. And any teacher that's entering into your video conference also can give the facilitator what we call no-go areas. If there are particular topics that they don't want to discuss during the video conference, the facilitator is aware of that and prepared to navigate the conversation away from those topics.
I'm just curious, and just pick one. What might be a no-go topic? Just out of, first one pops in your head.
Well, just to jump in on that one. I mean, I think the thing is that in order to keep everybody safe, I mean, I kind of view it as when you're taking part in a video conference, it's an extension of your classroom. So just like you have your kind of boundaries, we've got to kind of respect those because that safety thing is critically important. So you have some topics which you know, young people in some countries are encouraged to talk about, and yet in other countries they might be viewed as sort of beyond the pale in terms of discussion in school. So question, you know, conversations about sexuality, I think, are a very good example. You know, in the UK and the US, it's a topic that comes up very often. Well, not very often, but certainly it comes up in subjects where we're thinking about these kind of big questions of identity and what have you. You know, in other countries in the Middle East and in Asia, teachers will feel that that's, well, many teachers, not all, it has to be said, will feel that that's kind of like something that's too much for school. So what we want to do is ensure that teachers feel safe when they're taking part. I mean, it's a kind of fairly critical thing. As Claire said in setting up the safe space, everyone involved has to feel safe or dialogue won't work. So the students have to feel safe that they can say, they can share their ideas without anyone laughing at them or anything like that. But teachers have to feel safe that not just are we providing them with good resources, but we're not going to put them in an uncomfortable space where, you know, parents are going to be phoning up saying, what have you been exposing my children to? So it's important that we allow teachers that input to kind of frame the dialogue and say, well, these are things that, you know, I won't be comfortable talking about. Because when we talk about identity, we're talking about some of these big, powerful subjects, and they can be emotive.
Yes, we are.
And can occasionally be, you know, challenging.
It can be challenging. And actually, you folks run a gambit from 12 to 17 years old. That's a big difference when you were a kid, okay? To us older people, those 5 years are meaningless. Okay, any 5 years are meaningless. Of course, they go by so quickly, but 12 to 17 is a lot. Do you find, and I'll ask Ian this, do you find that the dialogue is different when a 12-year-old child is doing it as opposed to a 17-year-old?
That's a very good question. I think the first thing to say right off the bat is that we don't get 12-year-olds to talk to 17-year-olds. We always try and frame up our video conferences around two slightly smaller age ranges that generally work much more effectively. I think I would say that the thing that's very interesting is that when young people have some time to work at developing these skills, the profundity of what they say is not age-related. That a 12-year-old can come out with things, with observations on the world and explanations of their own kind of culture and their own perspectives that are every bit as profound as an adult, just as a 17-year-old can. At the same time, if people are still trying to work on acquiring those subjects, 17-year-olds can, you know, make as much of a hash of it as any adult. So it's really a lot to do with the intensity of preparation and how safe they feel. You know, I mean, it seems odd to kind of go back to be talking about safety, but a lot of it's to do with that. If you feel safe, you know, it's like when you're having a conversation with somebody you meet on a train or a plane. If you feel safe having a conversation with them, if they make you feel that you're being listened to and that you can kind of share information about yourself, as you get to know them, as you warm to them, the more you feel you're able to say. The same is true in dialogue. You know, you can't just go from a standing start with someone you've only just met and talk to them about something that's important or significant and perhaps, you know, core to your identity. These things have to be developed at an appropriate rate. But there are things you can do in class to help students be ready for that. And I think all of us, from the perspective of people who've worked and been lucky enough to facilitate these dialogues, know that when it works, it doesn't really matter how old the students are because it's absolutely brilliant.
Oh, it's got to be wonderful. And how long is it? I have two questions on that. How long is a typical session? I'll call it. That's A. And B, and let's just say they're talking, I'll just make this up, they're talking from Salt Lake City to children in Argentina, okay, just as a thing. Okay, and they do that, let's say, in September. Will they talk to them again during the year? And you can make up any two groups. Is it an ongoing conversation or just the one time, or most of the time?
The answer to the first question in terms of duration is we offer 60 and 90-minute video conferences.
Okay.
The thing with 90 minutes, while it's more time, it's a lot harder to fit it for most people to fit into a lesson. You know, most of these activities are happening
right.
in school,
of course.
So we've got to try and fit them into the way schools are, which is, you know, in some respects a good thing, in some respects a bit limiting. In terms of the repeats, what we do is we offer, think of it as a toolkit. We offer a toolkit for schools to use in order to learn dialogue. And if a school say to us, I want to book a VC every month for 8 months with the same school, that's fine, we'll do that. If they want to book one with one school in one country and then one with another school in another country and one with a third country, that's fine too. I mean, it's not my job to dictate to schools how to do that.
Yeah.
We are very
Mix
keen
and match.
To build those long-term relationships and to kind of make those opportunities available. But we also recognize that, particularly with the enormous pressure teachers are under to kind of, A, get everybody through to the end of the year having taught them everything they need to know, sometimes schools will only do one video, a student will only have the opportunity to do one video conference. And that's why we have to try and make every video conference as good as it possibly can be.
Yeah, and by the way, we're living in a global world. These kids are going to go into a global world. This is stuff they need to know, and they need to know it more than once, okay? Because this is so I am 100% in favor of this. Corey, I'm going to ask you this, then I'm going to give Jody a heads up here. What's been your favorite thing that has happened during one of the sessions? Some revelation, some kid said something to a kid in, I'll say, Syria or wherever, okay, or Turkey, whatever, and all of a sudden you went, wow. Now, Jody's got time to think about that, but Corey, you got to go first.
Oh, boy. The one that comes to mind, wasn't a particular moment. It was just kind of the ethos, the emotions after the video conference was over. We had a wonderful conversation some years ago with an all-female school in the Palestinian territories. And
wonderful.
For them to be able to open up to us and explain their world, and for us in Little Spokane, Washington, you know, we're fairly insulated as far as, you know, bigger things that are going on in the world. And so our kids'
You did tell them that Spokane is far more isolated than Gaza City. You did tell them that.
They did understand that. They did understand
that. Yeah, good,
and
good.
When all was
Except
said
for
and
Gonzaga.
Done, them, you know,
yes.
what's that?
Except for Gonzaga.
That's right, yeah. You got to love the Zags. They're becoming a global phenomenon.
That's their basketball team, Ian.
That's right. Thank you.
When all was said and done, the way that the kids reacted and understood the fact that this is so much bigger than what we see on the news. And when I say this, I mean, again, that global connection.
Wow. Did they get it that the Palestinians are actually people? Did they suddenly understand these aren't 3 seconds on the news for a quick shot of whatever. These are actually people and kids that we could like and get along with?
Yeah, absolutely. And even more than that, it was they are kids that we could be going to school with. I mean, the conversation that was had,
great.
I mean, it's not all
great.
It's not all about, you know, the politics and all of the hardships going on. It's also about, this is what we do when we get up in the morning and go to school, and this is how we perceive the world and interact with our world. And for our kids to be able to relate to those kids and look at them as, you know, 16, 17-year-olds, and likewise, for them to be able to look at us and hear about our world, that was a moment that is definitely etched into my mind.
That is a great moment. I got to tell you that. Jody, we got about 4 minutes left. You tell me, what was the aha moment?
Can it be one that I facilitated, or do you want one that my students
participated
in?
No, anyone you want. Anyone you want. Something that really impressed you as the kids use Generation Global.
One that I go back to often in my mind, and I even talk with my students about, is an opportunity that I had to facilitate a Palestinian school. and an Israeli school.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
I remember at the end of every video conference, we give kids time to reflect a little bit. You know, we've just had this amazing dialogue, and kids have shared, and they've been open with each other. And then we give them a little time to think about, you know, what did you learn? You know, what would you like to know more about? What surprised you maybe in the video conference? And I will never forget this sweet little Israeli student said, I realize that I have things in common with my Palestinian friends.
Oh, wow.
And I will never forget that.
Did you cry, Jody? Did you cry?
Yeah, I'm almost crying now, actually.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It just meant so much to me that this program has the ability to help kids learn the skills to really talk about hard things and to think critically and to become friends with people around the world, people they never even thought they could be.
Without question, and I remind everybody as we wind down, we live on a little dot of dust in the universe. It's not that big. If you've seen pictures of it from those rockets that go past out into Pluto and all that, they look back, they see Earth, it's a dot. If we don't get along, and you guys are helping to do that, we are in big trouble. We just share a little tiny dot. And what you guys do is absolutely incredible. We're going to be doing more shows. We got to go on this one. But I think what you're doing is just great. So, Ian, Dr. Jameson, you're wonderful. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you very much, and you too. And thank you very much for the opportunity to share our work with everybody today. It's been a real pleasure.
We're going to do more. Claire, you keep it up here in the U.S., okay?
Yes,
doing
thank
good.
You so much.
Okay, it's great. And Corey and Jody, just keep it up. What can I say? Just keep it up. Let's all make Jody cry even more with all these good things.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, my
brother. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you
this was
much.
Great. I hope I talk to you all again. Bye-bye.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Then I'll say to Ian Chidio, okay, great guy, okay. Now, Dr. Ian Jameson is the head of education at Generation Global, which is supported by the Tony Blair Faith Foundation. It's generation.global on the web. Okay. Claire runs the U.S. education. She's the manager here for Generation Global. Corey teaches at Lewis and Clark. That's Jerry Lewis and Marsha Clark High School in Spokane, Washington. I'm just kidding. It's Merriweather and William. Okay, and then Jody teaches at Brighton High School in Salt Lake City, and they're using Generation Global. We talk about global education, getting our kids ready to live in a global world. This is it. Go check it out. The resources are free. They're there for you, and it's something. Remember that Corey's an English and psychology teacher. You don't have to be a social studies teacher to do this. If your kids are ages 12 to 17, generation.global. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, and we'll tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. Please follow us. By the way, Generation Global tweets at gen_global_. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. And thank you to my guests and to PR with Panache, my good buddies Jacob and Susan and Chris, who helped me put this show together.
Jeez, dude, you need to change your blinker fluid.
That's not a thing.
And your thoracic couplet is totally shot.
Really?
It is.
Look, nothing gets by me. Just like this oil filter. Nothing gets by Purolator.
Hey, if you're using Purolator Boss, you know your stuff.
Oh, yeah. Protection up to 15,000 miles.
Ooh, but you really should replace your Vesuvius valve.
Stop talking.
Purolator oil, air, and cabin air filters. Nothing gets by us. Available at Advance Auto Parts, Pep Boys, and other fine retailers.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico. Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.